Who's in your inner circle? Who's in your inner circle that you chew things over with? Is it immediate family? Is it your chums at the coffee shop? Is it a relative on the telephone? I have an advantage in that I got another son who's a preacher, and then another son who was in Young Life for 9 years. So they like to tell me what's going on. And I appreciate it, and I seek their counsel. So who do you seek counsel from? Who do you go to? And the other question is, what do you go to? Do you go to CNN? Guys, how many of you turn on the TV and go to TSN right off the bat? And I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you know what ET is? Entertainment Tonight? Where do you get your news? Who speaks to you? Who's in your inner circle? What's going on in your life? Now, Scripture reminds us that we best fill our minds and meditate on things that are noble, true, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, those things that are the best, not the worst, those things that are beautiful, not ugly, those things that we praise, not things we curse. Scripture says it would be best that you would fill your minds with these things and meditate on these things, but what do we listen to? And then from that listening, what do we put into practice? How many, by a show of hands, really don't like the news on television? How many, by a show of hands, are getting tired that people are trying to scare you? How many of you are, by a show of hands, are getting tired of advertisers coming up with gimmicks to scare you? So who are you listening to? What's the inner circle? What are you taking in? And then the question is, what are you practicing? Did a little research on Google. Older adults are more likely to report reading, watching, or hearing a news story in depth in the last week. Older people. Now, you younger people may be slightly less attentive to the news on a daily basis, but you're more attentive to breaking news. Because that's all you can manage in your lives. But while younger people may be slightly less attentive, they are attentive to the breaking news. Entertainment news is the only topic followed by a majority of younger people and a minority of older people. The older people on this show called ET Canada, ET Tonight, the older people have no idea what it is. The younger people, yeah. Across all age groups, the preferred method for discovering the news is directly from a news organization, so they still exist. Now, this is the interesting part. However, younger people are more likely to express a preference for social media as a way of discovering. So how often are you chatting to a close friend on your iPad, your messaging system? How many people in this room, by a show of hands, do not know how to text? Okay, that's the minority here. And you know what? They're proud of it. Many believe that there's a wide range of negative behavior and emotional effects that the media consumption can have. We've all heard the warnings on those TV shows. The following TV program may not be suitable for all audiences. Why are they saying that? Did the programming actually change that much? I don't think so. They're just trying to catch your interest. A young man who came and rescued me out of my computer woes this week, he works for CTV as a cameraman. He tells me that they have been instructed by the network that each and every news clip that they go out and produce in town here and through the Okanagan can no longer be any longer than 1 minute, 30 seconds, because you won't pay attention. Clip, 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 clip. So what are we getting? What are we receiving? And then we have this barrage of violence. Now, since violence is so rampant in the media, we believe that we live in a more violent world than we actually do. In fact, as the crime rate goes down, we still hold on to or create greater fears than actually exist. Have you ever driven by an elementary school with everybody driving their children to that school? And if I was responsible, I'd be driving too. But it's an observation. Now, who are you listening to, and what are you listening about? Well, Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite translators of the Bible, and it is a translation, because all translations are interpretations. And if you want to get the real translation of the Bible, study Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek, ancient Greek. Now, the good news of Jesus Christ, the message, begins here. Now, I'm looking at Mark 1, but I'm going to be reading from the message. The good news of Jesus Christ, the message. For Eugene Peterson, he's saying the message is Jesus Christ. Begins here. But how does it begin? It begins with a guy named John the Baptist who ushers in this good news era with the words, "Watch closely. I'm sending my preacher ahead of you. He'll make the road smooth for you. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight." So John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to the forgiveness of sins. He was telling people to get ready because the Messiah was coming. Get ready, for the Messiah is coming. Get yourself in order. Confess your sins. Get a baptism for purification. That's what John the Baptist was talking about. And as he preached, he said, the real action comes next. I love Peterson's translation. The star in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. Ooh. I'm baptizing you in the river, turning your old life for a kingdom life. His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out. John the Baptist was not doing a baptism of initiation. He was doing a baptism of purification. And his did not have the elements of the Spirit coming down. At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. The moment he came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, come down upon him. Along with the Spirit, a voice You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life. History changed at that moment. We talk about the cross, we talk about the resurrection, but at this point in time, God is on the move. Not saying he wasn't in the mood or move in the Old Testament. Yeah, he was kind of moody at times in the Old Testament. But this is where God says, I'm here. I'm here now. And know me. Jesus, in going forward for the baptism, was fulfilling the ordinances of God that he must purify himself. That's all. But he was also taking this step to identify himself with us. Because there's some complexity here. Jesus, God. Jesus, human. Jesus, human. Jesus, God. It's going to take forever to understand that. And I'm looking forward to crossing the line, sitting down with the Lord and saying, that was cool, but could we go over it again? God is on the move. And at once the same Spirit pushed Jesus out into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights he was tested, we're going to go to the next one, by Satan. He leaves the water. And we know he goes off into the wilderness. There are three temptations which you've all heard about and studied in Sunday school. And Jesus faced and conquered each of these particular temptations because they involved his calling as the Messiah. And guess what? They involve our calling too. First temptation, you know about the rocks and the bread? The temptation to think and act only for oneself. That was the first temptation. The second temptation was to seek the world and its power. Remember on the tower? And then the other one about jumping off. The temptation to push our own spiritual agenda. So the temptations of acting for ourselves, seeking the world and its power, and pushing our own agenda. All of these Jesus conquered. And then it started. Because John got arrested. And then Jesus went on to Galilee and preached the message of God. And I just love Peterson's translation here. I want you to hear it. I'm not putting it up. Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message. Who's the message? Jesus Christ. This news heralds the fact that God's on the move. God's full reign over earth has to begin at this point. Now, men and women were called to a change of heart and acceptance of this news by John by accepting who Jesus was. Now, in the more traditional translations, we have the words repent and believe. That word repent. In the original language, it is metanoia, which means to rethink the way you think about things. When we hear the word repent, we have this idea we're supposed to give something up, we've done something bad, we're supposed to confess it. No, what Jesus is saying is rethink the way you think and leave behind your old course and head in a new direction. There's one New Testament scholar that I found that says this. What men and women have to struggle with and has proven to be hardest to understand is that the reign of God was not to be a cataclysmic external triumph by an earthly Messiah, but that it was a quiet rule over the hearts of humankind, the rule of God. Because Christ said this, that the rule of God, the kingdom of God, comes within his disciples. And that's Luke 17:21. It comes within us. God is moving and changing people from the inside out, changing the way we think. I had the most dramatic story from my son Michael. I know I talk about him a lot, but he's preaching, and he's preaching the same stuff I am, so I'm stealing everything I can from him. That video clip was his idea. On Tuesday, they celebrated Shrove Tuesday. They had their pancakes on the Tuesday rather than on the Sunday. We went ahead at the time. He's sitting there talking to a lady who is attending his church. She lives about 3 blocks away. She's African. And he has heard that she teaches at a few African churches in the prairies. And so he said, "Why are you at this church? How did you find your way here?" And she said, "Well, it's because I'm Muslim." Did you hear what I said? "Because I'm Muslim." And he's trying to eat his pancakes. And he says, "Tell me more." He just says, "Well, when I lived in Burundi, in Africa, I had visions. And she's a Muslim at that time, of the Christ coming to her in a white robe. And she would tell her friends, and they said, 'Oh, you're just dreaming about white people.' And she said, 'No.' She left Burundi, was a refugee in Tanzania, moved on to Kenya, where she lived in a refugee camp for 4 years. This vision kept coming to her. The Christ kept coming to her. The Christ healed her daughter. The Christ performed miracles in the refugee camp of healing other people. The Christ came to her and said, 'You are going to go to North America and tell them about me.' She ended up in Winnipeg. And then she went further north to Edmonton. I think Michael had a hard time swallowing his pancakes. Because of those of us in the Christian bubble, in the Christian circle, we hear stories of Muslims having visions. And that's a report of a report of a report. "Hey guys, this happened on Tuesday with this story in a little church, in a little Baptist church in Edmonton." God is on the move. So what's your story? What's your story? When did you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You heard my story a couple of months ago. What's your story? Have you shared that story with somebody else? That's the only way that people hear about it, if you share your story. You're part of their inner circle. You're part of their life. You get to tell your story and they get to chew on it. Repent has been used as stopping something that is hurting you. How many of you remember the comedian Bob Newhart? How many of you remember the skit he has where he plays the psychologist? And the lady comes in to see him and says, "I have this nightmares and dreams of being buried alive." And he said, "Oh, before you tell the story, I want you to understand what my fee structure is. And it's $5 for the first 5 minutes, and then after that it's free. Oh, that sounds good. Now you understand, he says, I don't take change. So she starts to tell him the story of how she has these fears of being buried alive. And this has got her very anxious and very upset. And he says, okay, thank you. Now, this is my advice. It's two words. She says, oh, should I write it down? Well, if it'll help you. Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! That's 3 minutes, 20 seconds, so you owe me $3. But, stop it! John the Baptist was saying, stop it. Stop what you're doing. Return to God. Coming here, obviously, you've heard it. You've returned to God. You're here. Now hear Jesus Christ. Hear him. Hear his heart. That he loves you. He wants to invite you into the kingdom of God now and forever. We all talk about the heaven stuff. That's a plus. It's now. And he says, I'm standing around. I'm with you all the time. Now, if you acknowledge me, we can have a conversation. And when you get into difficulty, I'll be there. And when you're full of joy and celebration, I'll be there. John the Baptist is saying, there is a God. Get real and return to God. And Christ is saying, let's go together. Let's live together. Let's be a part of the kingdom of God now.